The following podcast contains strong language and is not suitable for young listeners or workplace environments.
Why do we play games?
To have fun, right?
You're listening to FatCast. We've upped our game. Up yours.
Welcome to part two of the WBC FatCast. Just more stuff. Matt's going to talk to more people. Going to talk about more shit. Probably going to be somewhat drunken, right?
No. It's no? Pretty much completely drunken.
Gotcha. All right. Here's Matt talking to Steven Bonacor of Stronghold Games. They're going to talk about Survive, Panic Station, and Core Worlds.
All right, so I'm here with Steve from Stronghold Games.
Steven, come on, get it right, yo.
All right, you enjoy. I wasn't even going to try the last name. So
Steven Bonacor. Bonacor.
That's easy.
That's really easy.
It's spelled all fucked up. How do you spell that shit, though? It's fucked up.
Back in the old country,
it's fucked up if you read it.
We'd say Buonacore, but we're not in the old country. We're in America, so it's Bonacor.
All right. Yeah. So I'm here with Steven Bonacor, and today's episode focuses on the topic of games.
Gaming with Z-Man Games and Stronghold Games.
So, Steve, first question, actually. How'd you get into doing this?
I've been a gamer for all my life and just kind of wanted to take it to the next level. Thought that I could bring something to the industry. I've got a lot of business experience in my life, and I was kept in touch with some people in the industry. I mean, Zev's a good friend of mine, so I kept in touch with people in the industry. Kevin Nesbitt is my business partner. He left Valley Games in late 2008. Kept in touch with him. After a while, we said, you know what, maybe we can get together a synergy between the two of us. He had the industry knowledge.
Synergy, you're a business-ass motherfucker. Yeah. Huh? That's serious.
Pretty good after a few
That's
drinks
serious.
Here, right?
You sound like Alec Baldwin on 30 Rock, man.
So we figured that, you know, with his industry knowledge and my business knowledge, it would come together very well. So we met to decide whether we're going to do this or not in Atlantic City, New Jersey, over drinking and gambling, which is where all great business decisions are made, of course. And we said, you know what? I think this one really works between us, so why don't we try to do this?
Well, it seems like it is, because you reprinted one of the best fucking games of all time.
That's
right?
Really nice of you to say, man. Thank you very much.
So tell me about that. Did you have that in mind as, like, the first project, or did you get together and decide you were going to do games together and then brainstorm what you wanted to do?
No, the funny thing is that, I mean, the business model initially was, look, let's look for good games, good reprinted games that people really wanted to see back in print, right? So you find great games by great designers, but we're an unknown company. So we said, you know what, if we can find those great games...
Two out of three, right?
You get, it's really, if you think about this, great games, great designs, and all of a sudden people say, wow, I really want that. Who are these guys? Well, I'll take a chance because I want the game. But slowly but surely, when people see what you can do, you sort of raise the brand to the same level as the game designs. So then you have great games, great designs by the known company. That's where we wanted to go. Because we always think that, you know, when you bring out an unknown game by an unknown designer, an unknown company, it's sort of a recipe for disaster.
Who the fuck cares? There's so many shitty games out there that I only have time to play so many games. And if it's an unknown game and 8 million people aren't talking about, well, not 8 million, because there's, right, like, there's like 6 people.
There's
actually,
like, 6 people in this whole industry.
There's like 8 people in the hobby.
Right.
But you know, like, if everybody's not talking about it, I only have time. You know, Fantasy Flight, the big name, Zev obviously is putting out
Absolutely.
Stuff. You know? I mean, there's so many good, awesome games coming out that I got to try. That if I don't know anything about your game, like, it's unfortunate that you don't really get to take too many chances on stuff
That's
anymore.
That's right. And then there were some people that have done very well. I put a little plug in for my good friends at Clever Mojo Games, the Alien Frontiers. Unknown company, unknown guys.
Yeah.
And boom, on the scene, great. I
Super
love those guys.
Super success story, yeah,
That's right.
Absolutely.
Dave McKenzie, wonderful. They've done a great job. But that's like a one in like 100 that are going to do such a great success. So we tried to do it. You know what? I'm a businessman. I got to do this with the least risk.
Yeah, no,
so
makes sense.
We get those great games, hopefully, with those great designers. We raise our brand to that level.
So how does that work, right? Because Survive, I mean, it's not like Survive got published by, like, who the fuck cares in 1974. Like, Survive was a mass market, you know, it was a big every store kind of game. Right. I mean, did you just call up Milton Bradley and say, hey, Mr. Bradley,
hey,
like,
Bradley.
What's going on?
Hey, Bradley, yo, we're going to take that game away from you. That's actually a good story. But, you know, the funny thing is, before we get into that point, you mentioned, like, well, did we just decide Survive? Let's go do it. The first game we signed...
You didn't even answer my fucking question.
I didn't answer my question. I went to another question, yo. We've been talking all Brooklyn shit back to each other like for this entire time. We're back in the dealer's room, too. But we actually started, when Kevin and I got together, we actually looked at Confusion. It was the first game. He brought the prototype with him.
That's a new game.
Well, actually...
Original design.
It's an original design. It was sort of a reprint. It was done in Europe, in Germany, once a long time ago. So as Robert Abbott would say, it was done in a crappy version. It didn't have the really cool two-piece design for the pieces that we have now. The pieces were this one piece made of wood. If they pitted or something like that, you'd immediately know what the piece was, so the game would be ruined forever. So it really wasn't good. It took us over a year to get those two-piece plastic Mahjong lights. They're pretty fucking cool. We got this two-piece. I'm cursing like you now. This is not a good thing. Not good for the audience to hear me cursing.
Well, that's why we just had to do a bunch of shots before we started this interview. You gotta loosen the tongues. Come on the Fat Cast. We'll get you fucking ripped.
So we had to create these molds that had to fit perfectly and had to be that we wanted to really, again, this is one of those things where we want to really flex our muscles to stretch the quality that we can do. So we signed that game first, but it took a long time to make sure that we can get it right. Because Stronghold Games, I mean, it sounds silly, but you really want to make sure we do it right. You don't want to come out with something that's half-assed, that doesn't work. Make the customer see that what we can do really makes sense. The quality we bring out in every box. You can't put gold in a box and charge $50, but we can put as much possible quality into that box and charge a reasonable price for it, get it out to the customer.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, I get the emails and everything, and you got your little, you know...
You got my email? That's good for you.
You got the cheesy release-o-meter, but it's... Hear me out, right?
The cheesy release-o-meter.
Well, so as kind of cheesy as it is, it's actually, you know, it's fucking awesome. You know, yeah. it's Fantasy Flight will announce a game, and then 5 years later, it'll come out, you know? I mean, and they don't tell you anything about what's going on in the process, and it's frustrating.
What happened to Dune, man?
It actually announced it at Gen Con a couple days ago. Rex.
Awesome.
It's going to be Rex. It's, you know,
TI3 Dune.
Twilight Imperium Dune, basically.
Wait, they announced a couple days ago. You guys are here, you know about it already?
At Gen Con.
Listen to you. You guys are on top of the news, yo.
We're fucking serious business. Fortress Ameritrash don't fuck around. Especially when it comes to, you know, one of the all-time, probably, you know, my number one, maybe, classic games.
Ameritrash
games, exactly. But, you know, so... Fantasy Flight puts out great shit, but it's, you know, it can be frustrating as a fan of the product and something you're looking forward to be like, you know, the Gears of War game, right? Finally coming out, but how long have they been talking about it? You know, what's going on? Is it getting moved on? Is it, you know, Song of Ice and Fire adventure game? I've been excited about that for a couple of years, but I haven't heard anything about it for fucking ever. So where do I feel about it? Do I want to keep talking about it? I talk about it all the time, but like it's never going to fucking come out, or it's going to come out of nowhere, you know? Whereas, you know, the cheesy release-o-meter at least lets me know what's going on, which I really appreciate it, though. It's awesome. It's a really good thing.
Which, by the way, for people who don't know what Matt's talking about, is that in our newsletter, which a lot of people said, like, it's like one of the best newsletters they've ever seen.
Because it's full of news. It's not a fucking ad. It's news.
We really try to put interesting things. We put interviews with the designers that we're working with and stuff like that. We're really trying to do interesting things. And we give you one newsletter a month. You're not going to get spam with kind of all kinds of silly sales and shit. You get the one newsletter. It gives you some good news. And, of course, right at the end, we give the release-o-meter, the cheesy release-o-meter. So we tell you, okay, this is the state of the current games. And we try to tell you, realistically, the best we know where they are in the release cycle. And when it looks like it's slipping, we say, hey, looks like it might slip. Sorry about that, guys. But it's not going to slip for years. It's just going to be like it might go for another month or so.
Well, that's the thing,
down.
Right, is that there's going to be fuck-ups. No matter what you do, things are going to get delayed, some printing error, something's going to happen, you know, a couple times today. How many people, you know, I saw a couple people come by today. You sold probably like 1,000 copies of Survive today.
We sold quite a few.
You know, and like two or three people came by. They had a broken whale.
Broken whale?
A broken boat. You know, shit happens, but the real crux of what makes you guys, in my opinion, such a really strong new company is that, you know, they show up with the broken whale. Here's your new broken whale.
There you go.
You know, something that, you know, I will say Fantasy Flight and the big loss with Thad. Big loss losing Thad. there.
I love Thad.
But right, so Fantasy Flight.
I want to marry Thad. Zev, she's sending me my stuff all the time.
But
I love
her. Zev is Z-Man, right? Yep. So these companies, you know, Mayfair, another one, have these just fabulous reputations for, you know, they're gamers. They know what it's like. They treat their customers right. And you guys, even without the sort of resources, I guess, of these bigger companies, are right off the bat, you know, coming out the gate that you're not fucking around. You're doing things right. You know, you want to let everybody know what's going on. You're upfront about, you know, obviously you're not like, well, we did this and this is how much this cost. You know, the business, but you're upfront about the business of what's going on. You know, like, we're signing this, we're doing that, we're making these moves. This is what you can expect from us. This is when the games are coming out. This is what we have on contract, so we can tell you about, you know.
You can tell us stuff.
You're letting everybody kind of get involved in a way that makes us want to be excited about stuff.
Yeah, we are.
Interested in stuff.
And we're posting, like, you know, posting the artwork right on BGG so people can see it. They comment on it. So people hate it. But you know what? Hey, take a look at it. Give us your comments. We'll see if we can change it before the game comes out and stuff like that. You know, we do want to have the geeks involved with what we're doing. That's important to us. We're geeks. I was a gamer way long before I was a publisher.
I am a nerd, my friend, actually.
Oh, dude, no, dude. We're geeks, yo. Nerds, that kind of scary thing. We're geeks, man.
Listen, I play more D&D than board games these days, probably. So
I play D&D. I've been playing D&D since before you were born, maybe, man.
Maybe. You don't know how old I am. I've been playing D&D since 1986, so I've been playing D&D a long
way
time.
Longer.
Well, no, yeah, obviously a long time.
I started in college.
Just saying.
I started in high school.
They didn't have D&D when you were in college, old man. Get out of here.
That's
the fucking wrong.
What do you have,
1960s D&D?
Make it sound like I'm as old as, like, Jake Tomlinson. No, I'm not that old.
They have D&D at Woodstock, but hit the road.
That's good. Not that old, boys and girls in the audience. That's good, though.
But no, right, so right now you have three full games that fully produced out on the market, and then the two Survive expansions, the Squid.
Little mini expansions.
And the Five, not huge, you know, big things, but the Squid, which is like kind of a new gameplay thing, and then the 5-6 player expansion, which is more just
more people.
Kind of the same thing. Yeah, exactly, just more bits kind of thing. You know, what's next? Well, tell us real quick, what do you have out? You know, I love Survive. Survive is one of... How did you get Survive? Let's talk about this.
Like, I've been telling people I'm like a purveyor of old designers. I can find these guys like anywhere in the world. They're under rocks someplace. Like, every one of them, we've actually had to search out to find where they're living, and I could be like a private investigator in my other life, but I'm not. I'm a infrastructure project manager.
You're an adult with money. Can't you like pay someone to do this for you?
No, because it's the business money versus my money. I got to use the business money. The business is kind of poor. I got a little money, but anyway, so I go out and I find these guys, and we just talk to them, and they want to bring their games back for the most part. I mean, everyone likes to see their name in print.
Well,
they want to bring it back.
Some of them.
Not everybody. So, you know, we found Robert Abbott, who's an absolute genius. So we signed Confusion. We signed Code 777. What did you just ask me?
Survive. Tell us the Survive story. Julian Cortland Smith.
Okay.
I can't fucking believe I just remembered his name right. That's
you
how
did.
Much
That's
I like
awesome.
Survive, right?
So you remember my name even? No, I don't
at all. Steve Bertucci's, right? That's a restaurant.
Bertucci's. I love Bertucci's.
Steve Bertucci's Brick Oven Pizza Stronghold Games. Let's
there you
do
go.
It.
I was like, hey, useful guy.
Brick Oven Games. So
I'm talking Italian, you're talking Greek. How's that? Let's go back and forth. Let's see how long we go that way.
All I can do is call you a goat masturbator and tell you to go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's the word you know?
That's what I learned in Greek school. I went to Greek school, right? I learned how to play soccer and how to curse. That's it.
You guys are sick.
That's it. Greek people are fucked up.
That's awesome. All right. So, like I said, I find old designers across the world, essentially. And the one for Survive is actually a fairly simple one. I actually, I didn't know where he was living, Julian Cortland Smith. I didn't even know he was British at first. I kind of found...
Really? Julian Cortland Smith?
What the fuck is he?
Would you grow up under a rock?
No, he was Chinese, obviously. So we found some evidence that he was in England. He had posted on some site like 8 years ago or something like that. We found a town. It was kind of weird. I mean, literally, the internet is great.
So you're a fucking creeper is basically what you're saying.
I'm like a stalker. I'm a game designer stalker. That's exactly what I am. Oh, if you don't know what I'm doing right now, I don't even tell you about
it. Oh, God. I don't even want to know.
There's something I can't say. Thank goodness
there aren't a lot of female board game designers.
If there was, I'd be in jail.
You'd be getting in a lot of trouble, right? They don't mind if you creep out like, you know, old men. old fat men that are weirdos living wherever, you know, right?
If they were female board game designers, I'd definitely be in jail right now. For many reasons besides just trying to sign the contract.
So what's Julian Quillen Smith got in his garbage?
Well, I found this thing. Anyway.
Do you tell these guys how you found them? Or you just, oh, I got your information from this very legitimate source.
It's all on the internet, man. Everything's on the internet. Finally find the guy's email address, send him the email, get him something, and he was just like gushing. He was like, oh man, I'd love to have you publish my game. That'd
Dude,
be wonderful.
Don't let Andy hear you.
You'd be like making fun of my British accent. He's like, yes, I own all the rights. Again, I said, well, you know, send us your last contract to make sure we got to take a look at that to make sure you do. And he did. He redacted the important parts. Yeah, I mean, most of these contracts are all about if the company doesn't do a commercially viable effort to market, the rights revert.
Yeah, yeah, you and get like 10 years or whatever, in a window.
Exactly,
yeah.
And they hadn't been published in like 15 years or something like that.
Well, 82, they did Atlantis. 82 was the original, right? Then they did
Escape
from Atlantis, sort of like variant version-y kind of thing in Europe.
Exactly, and there was
but
also
that was like
Atlantis.
Early 90s too, right?
So way, way, way out. So he said, love to have you do it. Got the rights, signed it, and then, you know, the rest is sort of an evolving history. We're really...
So we spent a lot of time on this not very exciting story.
Like bitches, let's go.
Hit the fucking road! We're doing an interview!
So we spent a lot of time on this not exciting thing. We found him, he loved to work with us, and ever since it's only been in print for our version... Essentially, since February, when we got into retail in the U.S. and North America.
February. It feels like it's been out a lot longer than that.
Right? We had some for Essen in October of last year, and we did our pre-orders at around Christmas.
Yeah, because I got my pre-order before Christmas.
Right. We made sure.
Day before, I think.
We want to make sure
under the fucking tree, that's for sure.
Under the tree for Christmas for you guys.
It actually worked out good, because I would have ripped it open way before Christmas if it actually got there, like, more than a day or two before, so.
I mean, like, again, it's one of those things with Strongly is very... It's very important to us to make sure that we fulfill the promises, like that kind of stuff. When we say that we're going to get something to our pre-order customers within a certain window, we're going to do that for you, you know? And we had to get games, we had to actually airship them to make sure we did that. That costs a lot of money, but we're going to fulfill those promises to guys.
Well, that's the thing, though,
People have put their confidence in us. They've given us money, right, before they got their game. They get a nice discount for that, and they're the first ones to get it. We promised that well before it's in retail, but they've given us that confidence. We don't want to lose that trust. They get the game first, as simple as that.
So enough gushing, right?
Enough gushing.
I'm going to start complaining.
You're going to complain about my stuff?
A little bit.
Come on.
A little bit, right?
That's it.
Listen. I love Survive, yep. Right? Why'd you guys go with wooden pieces? I love those, like, die-cut plastic, you know, like the original.
Did you like the plastic people?
No, the people were shit. No, like the whale and the sea monster.
Oh,
I like
soapy kind of plastic?
Yeah, I like that.
You don't like the plastic whale? I mean, you don't like the wooden whale and the wooden sea serpent and stuff like that?
I don't think they're terrible. I love the new edition. The new edition is great. But I'll be honest, we play with the plastic, because I have, like, you know, a few old sets, because I like the game that much. So we play with the plastic sea serpent and the plastic whale and the plastic shark.
Why would you not play with the wooden guys?
Because I like the plastic guys. They look cool.
They look cooler than my guys?
They just feel nice. I don't know.
Dude, you need to, like, see somebody about this, like, obsession with plastic.
I don't know. They're the same cut, right, basically, so...
The
shape on the whale is better.
Shape on the whale is different in ours.
Yeah, shape on the whale is better.
Some people like one, like the other one.
I like the new whale cut is better. New whale cut is better.
That's cool, thanks.
It's a little goofier, though. It doesn't look as much like it
he's
can eat a boat.
He's kind of smaller versus
it. Yeah, it looks like he can eat a fucking boat. I mean, yeah. He's a baby whale, whale.
I'll tell you, I'll give you a little publisher perspective. It costs a lot of money to do plastic. It costs money because you have to make molds. The mold is a big thing on plastic.
Wasn't that like die-cut plastic or something? Isn't that like a different produced kind of plastic?
All
the flat ones, because they're the flat sheets, right? Is that...
No.
They might not even do that shit anymore.
I don't even know what you're talking about, man.
Right, like
what
the
are you
old
talking
whale.
About?
Right, so the old whales, they get these giant sheets and then they die cut the pieces out of them. And I think that's how they do those.
I mean, I don't know how they do the older ones from the original game, but right now what
you do is... It's all injection molding, right?
Yeah. Right. Essentially, it's an injection mold. You have to create the mold, you inject the plastic, and you put it out. Creating those original molds is actually a very big sunk cost.
Yeah, huge
expense. So if it doesn't... Right. So if the game prints 100,000 copies, it doesn't really matter. But you never know if it's going to do that or not. We're doing very well with Survivor. But, so... We did it in wood because, well, I mean, wood is sort of the default kind of shape these days in Eurogame, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in many games.
We ain't making cubes, right?
Right. So we thought that wood had a very nice look to it anyway.
No, listen, audience members, all four of you.
You guys, yeah, what are you guys? Yes, you're not Tom Vassell? Why am I not here on the Dice Tower? Screw this shit. I'm out of here.
Hey, we like Tom Vassell, all right?
I love Tom. So, I'm emailing with him tonight. I've been emailing you all night.
But listen, so I don't mean to say that the new edition is beautiful. It's awesome.
Thank you.
This is the most nitpicky ass detail.
Oh, like you're not nitpicky, right?
Yeah. So, seriously, don't like go looking at thrift stores for the old copy because you want the new one. You really do. Like, I mean, unless you're trading for one of my old copies now, like, please, get in touch. I got trying to move those out, you know. But no, seriously, like, the new edition is beautiful. It's awesome. And it's also a little more functional, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely. It works, it's an interesting way of making the physical production actually improve the mechanical gameplay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have this visual 3D look of the tiles, and I like to put also that little plug-in where I always like to point this part out. In the original game, you had one millimeter cardboard for all of the cardboard. You had 1 millimeter beaches, forests, and mountains. What we did was we gave it a three-dimensional look with 2 millimeters, which is like a standard Carcassonne size for the beaches, 4 millimeters for the forest, which is like a Tuluva, if you know that game.
And no, I definitely don't.
You don't know Tuluva? It's a Euro. You wouldn't know it, right?
You heard of it, though. Sounds like a real fucking winner.
Yeah. And for the mountain tiles, 6 millimeter thick punch board, never been done in the industry. And I keep saying that in front of publishers.
Well, that was in a number of newsletters. The point came across.
I'm gonna have to hit you with this really crappy thin punch board from some company that's over here in front of us.
Another company that I like very much.
Thank you. I like them too.
So, anyway, I know there's stuff you're not allowed to talk about, right?
Wait, we're still talking about the...
I think we're just fucking rambling at this point. So I'm gonna get us back on track to a real question. All right? So,
is any of this gonna go into the actual podcast?
Yeah, sure.
I promise.
Yeah. We'll get about 4 minutes right now.
And I should have been in bed a half hour ago. Listen, you fuckers.
That's because you usually show up to the booth, you know, before the doors are opening, whereas me and my associate are stumbling in.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that I was in the low rent district at this convention. Well, these guys didn't set up the damn thing until two minutes before the show opened on Friday.
Yeah. However, I would like to point out how are your numbers so far?
How did you do today? How many? Here we go.
More shots. That's just what we need, Andy. Making this podcast very entertaining.
Wait.
Well, I have a serious question. I think I forgot it already.
I did almost what you guys did today. We did very well today.
You guys are doing awesome, and you got 3 games. We got 400.
You guys, how many games do you have? Like 30-something?
I don't know. They're all excellent. Everyone should buy every Z-Man game ever.
Wonderful. I love Z-Man games.
I do.
Zev is one of my best friends.
I have no problem making fun of some of the Zev games that he puts out because I have such unabashed love for some of the rest of them. Yeah. Well, you know, things are about to get way more entertaining.
You gotta think. You gotta drink slowly and sip and enjoy.
No, what you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Because I'm from Kuwait.
I don't even know what you're saying.
I don't know. What was he saying?
Right. That sounded like a street frog or something.
Anyway,
so I have a legit question, right?
Yep.
So
none of these were legit. Okay.
Well, no, we kind of talked a little bit about some stuff you can't really completely talk about, but you definitely have two things I know for sure that you're playtesting or you're demoing. You're not even playtesting because it's basically in the pipeline getting produced. So tell us about these two things you got going on that. We should. I'm very excited about.
Let me tell you about everything that we have announced so far, very quickly, and then we'll go on to the new stuff.
Yeah, make multi, it's a game with euros and troll. No, oil and no trolls. Trolls would be cool, right?
Isn't that you want in the one?
Yeah, listen. McMulty. So if you're a boring motherfucker, go buy McMulty and support Steve. Moving on.
Has great bits though. You'll love the bits. You might not like the gameplay, but you're gonna love the bits.
I might like it actually. No, I don't know. Who knows? I'll give it a chance.
It's very economic.
I'll give it a chance. I like what you're bringing to the table. It's cool. I'll try it.
I appreciate all the negative comments too. It's all good. Thank you.
I won't even shit on it until I played it. All right. It's an old Euro, so it might be good because it came out before K-List, so it might not suck completely.
With lots of dice, though, dude.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Dude, the game's got huge of dice.
I'll try it.
Try it.
So does you know.
Outpost, auction game, social. You like that, right?
I'm a very social guy.
You're a very social guy. Outpost is our other reprint coming out this year. But then after that, we'll move on to the cool stuff that you guys are interested in.
And these are new designs, too, right? So this is a transition in a way, right?
Yeah, in a way, we're, right. Again, as I mentioned sort of in the beginning of the interview, we kind of set the scene with the reprints, right? We got to establish the brand. Why do you want to buy it from us? Because you've seen what we've done. Now we've brought the brand up. Now you guys will trust us with new games, right? Because we've vetted new games and they're really good. So two games that we've announced. One is called Core Worlds. Excuse me.
Jesus, Steve, you're blowing it.
You're such a cut. Core Worlds, which is a deck-building, strategic deck-building card game by Andrew Parks. Andrew Parks, noted game designer. He's done Camelot Legends, Ideology, nothing you would like. Parthenon.
Parthenon's all right.
He's
done a lot of Z-Man games.
He's done a lot of Z-Man games. You should love everything.
All he's done is he shits gold, this guy.
No, and he's one of those full-time game designers, but he also is a full-time dad at home, stay-at-home dad, so he takes care of his kids. But he's a really great guy. He took deck building, we think, to the next level. You know, Dominion, I wish I had that property, but Dominion is a mechanic.
Hold on. Cut. Steve, you are a professional businessman, let me say it. Dominion is a boring piece of shit.
No.
That is an excellent mechanic that does not do anything interesting with that excellent mechanic, and we need games like A Few Acres of Snow that just came out recently, yep, where you're taking the deck building idea and incorporating it into an actually interesting thing to be doing with it.
I would have said something much nicer than that, but in a sort of similar manner, where deck building is a mechanic that you need to build a good game on. Right. So you said that in a nasty way. I'll say it in a nice
nasty
way.
Nasty. I'm
in a nasty way.
Excuse
me. I'll say it in a nice
excuse
way.
Excuse me.
So Andy took deck building, used it as one mechanic, whereby in Core Worlds, essentially, you are a barbarian star empire, where the big galactic realm in the center of the galaxy has crumbled, and now you're all sort of moving toward the center, gobbling up the more interesting worlds, gaining new technologies and new forces, new starships.
So it's basically Twilight Dominion.
I would call it a deck building card game where you're trying to build your resources up to conquer the center.
Is there other stuff in terms of like is it purely cards? Is there boards and stuff and like a visual component?
It's cards. You're building a tableau in front of you with all of your.
Don't say the fucking
word tableau.
Tableau.
Actually,
fuck you, Steve. Please. It's a fucking set of cards in front of you. All right, so you're getting your set of cards in front of you.
Okay, you're building the war zone. That's actually what it's called.
There we go, a fucking war zone. Now we're talking, all right.
You're building these guys are like down there, man. You build the war zone in front of you with your ships and your troops, and then you invade worlds. You invade the worlds, you take them, you put them back into your war zone, and now they're part of your empire.
All right.
And you're getting empire points.
So basically you're fucking everybody else's tableau.
The peanut gallery is laughing at Matt. So, yes, you're fucking with everyone's tableaus.
No, that's good. That's really exciting, right? Because one of the big problems with a lot of the deck builders, even ones that I enjoy, like I dig Thunderstone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the big problems is, you know, it's you don't get to really fuck with each other. You don't get to do, you know, stuff where you're kind of building an army or doing whatever. You know, it's like a solo game, really.
In Core Worlds, there isn't direct conflict. I don't go and attack you, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to draft away from you. There's going to be in the central zone of the play area. there are going to be the planets, and there's going to be new technologies, and I'm going to prevent you from getting that by drafting it away from you.
So it's like a worker placement. Is this what we're getting
at? No. I'm going to be saying, you know what?
The interaction is that I prevented you from getting 3 wood.
No, but there's a planet out there that I know you really want. I'm going to go attack that planet. I'm going to take that over.
But there's no way for me to take that planet back?
No.
All right.
No. I'll be honest with you.
No. I mean, I'm still excited.
You can still diss me right in front of my face.
Believe me, I do.
It's easy for you to do.
I've got a few talents, and that's one of them. All right.
Exactly one of them. Sorry. So it's an indirect fucking with the counterparties on the table. So that's Core Worlds. The buzz is great. If you take a look on the Geek, the artwork is beautiful. We found a new artist out in Belgium, and he's done a great, great work. We had some supplemental art done.
Yeah, everybody that we've heard, you've been demoing the sort of playtest for pre-production, not actually the stuff. Everybody seems pretty excited about it.
They're really stoked about it. We're stoked about it. We think it's going to do very well.
Awesome.
In that whole, deck building genre, essentially.
Yeah,
this is more of a strategic deck building game. It's not a 20-minute game like a Dominion. This is a, four players is going to take you an hour and a half, a serious strategic deck building game.
So let's talk about this other one. This one, actually, yep. I like that, and I'm definitely interested in it, but this next one really excites me.
Panic Station. This is a game that we did not sign ourselves to begin with. This is a game that we are co-publishing with White Goblin Games, great, great publisher in the Netherlands. Another small publisher.
Yeah, they do some cool stuff.
They've done some really cool stuff over the last couple of years. They've been doing like 6-10 games a year, so they're really getting out there. They're only a few years older than us.
Also
have
an excellent name,
Yeah, they got a cool name, White Goblin Games, right? Nice couple, and another two guys own that company, like Kevin and I own Stronghold. Another two nice guys. We met them out in Essen last year. We struck up a rapport with them. And when they were going to get to publish this game, Zev was actually going to take this game, but he was right in the middle there of that whole thing that was going on.
Some things happening.
The Philo and the Sophia going on. So he couldn't actually make a commitment. I had known about the game. They contacted us. I said, I want the game. Signed the game. Essentially, what goes on with Panic Station, semi-cooperative, paranoia-driven card game, where everyone starts off as a human player, and we're exploring this reactor of this space station someplace. And you're going down at some point during the game as you're exploring things, someone is going to become the host. They're going to become infected. And then at that point, what their goal is, they're going to try to infect other players. Every time you meet somebody in the corridors, you've got to trade with them. So you're going to try, as the host, try to trade them part of your infection. And they can counter that, though, with another card to stop the infection. So you never know who's really on your side. You end up in the game, you have two characters. Everybody has an android character and the human character. The object of the game is to get one of your characters to the hive room, which is not going to be found until way down in the deck, where there's plenty of time to infect other people. When you finally get there, if you can bring 3 gas cans in there, spread the gas around, light the room up, you win. However, if everybody gets infected by the end, then the aliens essentially...
So you're kind of going back and forth between wanting to meet up with each other to trade important, useful items versus staying the fuck away from everyone because you don't want to get infected.
Absolutely. And when you walk into a room, if you think somebody is infected, you're just going to open up. You're going to light up.
You can shoot each other. Awesome.
Boom, 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 boom. You're going to shoot the hell out of them if you think they're infected. You know, like, you found out that something happened, they did something really weird. Fuck, you're going to wail on them.
When is this coming out?
Both of those games, both Core Worlds and Panic Station, are Essen releases. So they should be out, for Essen in Germany in October.
Listen, this is not Fortress Germany trash. This is Fortress...
You should still know when Essen is, because Essen is used for everything.
Yeah, but the point is, I don't give a fuck when I can't get it. I want to know when I can buy it.
You should be able... We should open up our pre-orders around October. It should be out in the U.S., by Christmas time. So it's like Survivor's Day.
I'll get another December 24th. All right.
I'm going to get it to you, man, before Christmas.
That's good.
You.
Well, I'll fucking drive to your house and pick it up. You don't live that far away.
About 2 hours away? No problem, man. I'm coming up anyway, right? Right? We're going to have a game day? Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's our big release for the end of the year. I mean, we're very excited. I mean, we've got a bunch of other things going on. something's signed, something's not. We'll talk about those next
secret,
time.
Secret stuff in the pipeline.
Oh, we have some secret stuff that I can't talk about at all because they're not quite inked yet.
All right. Well, we fucking wasted a lot of your time.
I think we've gone
you wanted
a while.
To go to bed. We were going to talk for like 10 minutes. We talked for an hour.
I think I'm about an hour overdue for my bedtime.
So, all right. So, just, you know, thanks a lot for stopping by, talking with us.
They can't see us shaking hands, but we just shook hands.
Because Steve is such a businessman, right? Everybody else is like, all right, see you later. Steve's shaking hands. But seriously, if you don't have Survive already, like, you're a fucking idiot. Step up to the plate. Get one of the best games that's out there. It's top 10 games for me, easy.
Thank you, man.
An amazing production. It's beautiful. You guys are doing awesome things. I'm really excited about it.
Really appreciate it, man.
We really need to support guys like you that are, you know, smaller, doing all the right things, in it because you care about it, in because you want to care about it. You want to put out great games that people are going to have a good time with. So, you know, buy their stuff. It's awesome.
Thank you, everybody.
So get into it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The only last thing I can say is, like, if you want to follow us, come to our website,
www.stronghold.com. Sign up for that newsletter with the patented release meter.
With the very flaming release meter. That Matt loves so much.
It's gorgeous.
And we actually do produce a good newsletter one time a month.
I read it.
If you're reading it, it must be decent,
right? It's fucking useful, right?
Yeah.
So thanks a lot. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Stronghold Games. Check it out. Strongholdgames.com. They're awesome. Be about it. Thank you.
Take it easy, man. Bye.
Here Matt talks to Mark H. Walker of Lock and Load Publishing. They're going to talk about Run, Fight, and Die, or Die. Run, Fight, or Die.
I don't know. Some shit. Dying, running. Things
Richard
happen.
Lanius. That's the important thing here.
Yeah. We talk about stuff. It's good.
Cool.
He was eating... he wanted to eat ice cream the whole time, and he didn't get to eat his ice cream until it was all melted, so...
Bummer.
Yeah. This interview was had some costs associated.
All right. Now that we've got our shots at tequila out of the way,
we're good to go.
We are here with Mark Walker, who is in charge, the only man in charge, right? You're the
I'm the dude.
Of Lock and Load Publishing.
Yeah.
You got to change it to, like, MW Man Games, right?
Because
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm going to change it to March and September Publishing.
All right, so you obviously have a lot of trashy, awesome stuff that in the best way, you know.
I'm with you.
A couple things that I'm really excited about. What is it? Run, Fight, or Die? Is that that's what's called, right? Richard. I'm gonna fuck his name up too.
It's Richard Lanius.
Yeah, he's saying it right.
I think it is.
I can't say it right.
No, I think it's what it is.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, I talked to him. I know him. Like, I just still can't say his name. I'm sorry,
Richard. One of the nicest guys in the world, too.
Awesome,
I mean, he's the greatest guy. You know?
And puts out awesome games.
Unbelievable.
So, tell us about it.
Well, Run, Fight, or Die is it's almost a tough game to describe, but it's easy to learn or whatever. It's, I want to say a zombie dice game. It's got a little bit of a bad connotation. I noticed there's some folks
Because there's really that terrible game called Zombie Dice.
Right. It's exactly why it has that bad connotation. But it's I wasn't going to say that, but it's not that type of game. Everybody takes a character in this game, and then you have three sections in this character card you have that have zombies on you that are inexorably marching towards you, okay? And you're rolling these die, and you're using the die to, like, kill zombies with shotguns, kill two zombies with bats, or you match them up in kind of almost a Yahtzee fashion to do things like reveal a villager or reveal a location. You win the game by getting five villagers. Now, the kind of the flip thing that's so much fun with that is once somebody gets five villagers, you count up points. And you get points by not having been killed, obviously. Okay. You also have points by how many health points you have left, and then how many points worth of villagers you have. So, like, if you find a villager that's super cool, okay, he's like Mr. Crackshot, kill one zombie per turn, he's worth 1 point. The grandma, who makes you pay an extra run die every turn, is worth 3 points. So the more of a encumbrance they are to you, the more points they're worth. So, I mean, it's this constant working, you know, you can kill all the zombies, you can also lose the game by dying. So you want good help, but on the other hand, the worse your health, the higher the point score is. It's a blast. Honest to goodness. And I'm going to shut up in just a second. I haven't shown this...
We fucking asked you on the show to talk. Yeah. It's not like we asked you to come on here and, you know, like...
I haven't shown the game to anybody. anybody, and I mean people that are going like, no, man, I don't get into games. I like watching Cops on the couch, but that doesn't like the game. Everybody loves the game.
Is there, it doesn't sound like there's any interaction at all, or is there a little bit of interaction between players? There, not that the deal, you know, good or bad. Just,
cool.
Is there stuff going on between each other, or is it more, you know, like solo focused and you're just kind of trying to beat each other, beat the system almost?
Well, the interaction between each other is there's a couple of things you can do with the die. One of them is you can add zombies to another player's card, okay? Another thing that you can do is when you get a certain straight with the die, you can actually take somebody's villager. So like, they've got a really cool villager that you want that's an awesome villager or whatnot. Like, there's one called the Hot Chick with Attitude, and it has a picture of this girl giving the finger, okay? And she, like, she, although she gets a zombie every game, I mean every turn, she also gives the player one extra roll on the die. So it's kind of like a mixed blessing. But anyway, if you get the right combination of die, you can take other people's villagers.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit
so
of, you know,
stuff.
Screw the other person type deal.
Cool. Sounds good. Sounds good. What else is in the pipeline that we should be really excited about? I mean, you got a lot of fire irons in the fire. Well, you got a lot of things coming out right now.
Yeah, we
right?
do. I mean, well, you know, I think we're perceived traditionally as a war game company. I mean,
well, White Star Rising has been a pretty big,
big game,
right? So,
but we're trying to move away from that. I mean, with all things zombie, has been huge for us, and then Space Infantry, we sold out here in one day of our copies of Space Infantry and whatnot. So, in addition to war games, we want to put out a lot of sci-fi type horror stuff because personally, I'm interested in that. So, one of the games that we're trying to get off pre-order and into the production cycle is a game called War Party. And you guys may have seen it demoed around here.
Let's get into some controversial talking here, right? A lot of people are shitting on the art for War Party.
Really?
Yeah, people are saying they don't really like the look.
Now, what don't they like about it? I mean, I'm just interested in knowing.
I don't know. Just that it looks a little, you know, not as, you know, I think people are expecting higher.
What they're looking at, of course, is a prototype.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, they're not looking at a production quality game. I mean, they're looking at a prototype. But the art and stuff for what I would call the counters, like, you know, the armies and stuff that you have, I really like. You know, so I was just interested to know. I thought maybe they might be talking about the map or something like that.
No, to be honest, I don't know. I just know. I just remember,
just,
you know, in the back of my head
along.
That people were bitching about that, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you had a big old FU to them or just, you know, diplomatic,
nah.
Like, yeah, it's all right.
No.
I don't know. I guess you haven't even heard of it, so what do you care, right?
No, I haven't heard. But War Party is like if you took Twilight Imperium, Dungeons and Dragons, and Axis and Ally, and put them in a wearing blender and put it on puree.
Well, I only use the Vitamixes.
But anyhow, so, you know, in short, that's what it's like. So we've had three tables going with it, one of them downstairs, two of them up here in Open Gaming. People walking away loving it, coming up to my booth, pre-ordering the game. It still needs quite a few more pre-orders.
So you guys have like a P500 kind of thing going.
Exactly, P500.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Do you know what the number is currently?
Not close to
500.
No, not close. And I mean, if we had 500, we would be awesome.
Yeah.
But we could probably go to print with something like 300, but we still need a gobble. And you know, I think the problem is, look at Fantasy Flight, or maybe even look at Z-Man or something like that. People that see a game similar to War Party. I mean, just similar. I'm not even saying it has to have orcs and dragons or anything. I'm just saying, you know, a similar kind of Ameritrash type game, okay? They expect it to be announced and released on a certain date. You know, I mean, it's going to be like, hey, man, coming out first quarter, like Tactics or whatever.
And P500 is very much a war gaming thing, you know? I mean, that world is very used to that,
yep.
Whereas, you know, Fantasy Flight is just putting out what they're putting out.
They're putting out because they have a lot more liquidity than we have, and so it's hard to train the people that mainly would be interested in this game to say, hey man, you got to go to our site, you have to play something on P500. I mean, I'll hear something like, I put an order on Troll and Toad or whatever. God love Troll and Toad. I just pulled that out. That doesn't help. We don't know what Troll. I mean, they could have 100 orders for the game unless they come in March. Man, we want to give you the money for these orders so you can publish it. Doesn't mean nothing.
What are you guys doing? Any like special bonuses for pre-orders or?
Yeah, we are. As a matter of fact, thanks for asking that. It's almost as if you were cued.
You can't see all the fucking cards he brought with him because he knew we were getting interviewed, so he's got all these things I have to say, apparently.
Larry Bakucki himself is writing a strategy guide for it, and everyone that pre-orders on our site gets the strategy guide. It's the only place you'll get it.
That's cool. That's
awesome. It'll be a nice four-color magazine.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else, try to keep things quick here. Is there other stuff that we want to get excited about?
Well, on the wargaming side of things, this is a semi-war game. We have Nuclear Winter 68 coming out in September. And that is a universe in which Germany was bombed, nuked in 1945. Mm-hmm. So some of the Wehrmacht and whatnot went underground. Okay, so it's now 1968 and the Wehrmacht has come back up to fight. Alright? So they're fighting NATO. So you've got like King Tiger tanks fighting T-62 tanks because Russia's part of NATO. But that's not all. There were Germans that stayed above ground and they mutated into Zealots. So you've got Nazis and King Tigers fighting Soviets and Americans in M60s and T-62s being dive bombed by dragons and crushed by these like 30-foot mutants that come out of these cesspools.
So it sounds like, who's that author, right? He writes all these fucked up, weird, like...
Mark Walker?
No, there's somebody that, he writes these crazy, like, alternate history, military kind of books.
Yeah, I know.
I guess you don't know who he is, but yeah.
No, I do know who you think. He wrote an entire series through the history
whole big
of America.
Thing. Yeah, all this crazy shit with dragons fighting Nazis and, all that kind of, weird stuff like that. It was apparently very popular, I don't know. I never read any of his books. I just remember it being a thing, so. I hear you're a big fan of the heavy metal, so it sounds like.
Where do you hear this stuff?
So, word gets around, right?
I was a big fan of Sucker Punch, and, Jack Snyder's a big fan of heavy metal. I like heavy metal. I can see the influence.
It's sound, because thematically that sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
Mechanically, like what's going on there? I mean, it's more like it's like a hex encounter, kind of war game.
Absolutely, it is. Basically, it's a war game. There's some really, really fun things going on with the combat system. But, you've got counters that represent, like a handful of vehicles or a dragon. Or a 30-foot mutant or something, but still, they have attack factors, and you're adding dice to attack factors and comparing it to defense factors. All of them have unique things they can do, like the Zealots, which are that group's called the Black Hand. Where in other war games you have artillery barrages or you have smoke barrages or whatnot, these guys are chemical barrages. Not only kill people, they'll convert them to zealots. So, you'll barrage a platoon of army infantry and they end up being zealots.
So, I'm not much of a war gamer.
Right.
But this theme sounds really awesome. Is this something that, I could get into war gaming playing, or is this something that I need to, I'm going to be a little overwhelmed?
No, you wouldn't. Do you play Agricola?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So this is not like
on
crazy.
On a scale of one,
we're not pulling out like ASL. I don't know. Some of these war games have some pretty intense.
On a scale of 1 to 10, this would be 4, and Agricola would be 3,279. Okay. Agricola takes longer to set up than this game takes to play.
I'm sold then. Sounds good. Yeah, I feel really good. Anything else you want to talk about that we'd be excited about coming up soon?
I'm really excited that Kevin Cobb went to the Cardinals. That's about it.
Awesome. Well, I'll let you eat your mostly melted ice cream. So thanks to Mark Walker for stopping by, talking with us. Everybody go make sure, if you're interested, check out War Party. Get that pre-order in if it looks like something you want, because it's a war game publisher, so you got to put your money where your mouth is to get it made in the first place. Richard Lanai... Sorry, Richard. Zombie Dice Game, looking fucking awesome. Way better than that other Zombie Dice Game. Because it's actually a game. So make sure you check it out. What is it? LockandLoadPublishing.com?
LockandLoadGame.com.
LockandLoadGame.com. All right, check it out.
Facebook is Facebook Lock and Load Pub.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
This is an interview I don't remember most of, but I'm told was very entertaining. So here we are with Steve Stormseeker. Something with an O for a last name, and we talk about some stuff.
So this is Mr. Steve waving hands at his lady friend.
Yeah, my wife's up there playing Macau.
This is Mr. Storm Seeker from the internet.
Yep.
Well known for his gorgeous avatar
and
selection.
My incredible bust line as well.
Steve is a not a little man.
I have a face for radio as well.
No. Steve will beat your ass. Steve's a big guy.
But I am a lover, not a fighter, dude.
Is that big heart?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what takes up all this space. That and copious amounts of fast food.
So, Steve, how's your WBC going?
Fantastic, man. Hey, we've been having a great time. I am dog-ass tired. I gotta stop looking at you through the microphone, right?
Yeah, we look like fucking weirdos.
I know, right? Hey, how's your eye? That's gonna come off great on the podcast, too, because you can see that.
Visual. It's a visual podcast.
No, actually, we've been having a great time. Our whole goal was to come here and play things we haven't played before and preferably don't own. So I've just been pulling random stuff off of the table up there and seeing what we can get played. Had
awesome.
Really good luck just pulling random titles. I've only found like two games that were just terrible.
So I'd say you're pretty well known for your interest in quality games, yet inability to actually play any of them. So have you actually been able to get actual good stuff to the table, not just stuff that you liked?
I actually got half of my 18-man card over this WBC. I was able to play Arkham Horror with Shelley.
That is serious business.
Yes.
She got the suitcase and everything.
She did, yeah. Andy was there with us, and my
English
wife.
Andy, oh man,
yeah.
That's an adventure.
Dude, I tell you what, that guy's a trip.
Great.
He is fantastic. So I'm halfway there. I've actually lined up, like I usually do, I've lined up a game that I'm going to play but never going to play. So I've got plans to never play Twilight Imperium. I've got three buddies that have a copy, and I think I'm actually going to take off my skirt and play.
I've already played three times
have
in
you
the
really?
Last couple days.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. No, I've not done it. And according
we played preheats. Who was it? Peter. Peter Putnam played four games in the last 3 days.
Wow, he's had a lot of time for other things, too.
Yeah, but did you hear how the last one ended?
That's he fucking lost.
By a lot.
We're going to be getting a con report, though, from the two first and second place there.
That explains why I haven't seen him all day, because I think he's, like, sleeping it off.
Walked by the table as they were starting to come down to the end, and usually, you know, Twilight people are screaming and yelling and getting up on each other, and all of them were sitting there just quiet, grinding their teeth. Man, they were all losing enamel. They were just sitting there. Man, you could have cut it with a knife.
So let's say man up wise, I played Arkham.
Let's not say man up because they're the ladies of AT. We got
right,
the Queen Bee. The Queen Bee runs our website.
That's true.
So, I mean, come on.
I fed it up and played Arkham, so
there
I got that out of the way. Otherwise, man, it's been a really good time. The vibe here is great this year.
Yeah, well,
there's massive
year.
Amounts of people here, more than last year.
Absolutely, especially in the open gaming.
This place is
packed. You just
right
know
now.
More people. That's what it is.
It is, but there's a lot more people I don't know up here. There's a lot of women here this year and families.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Shelley made a good point before, and I don't want to steal her thunder in case you talk about her. Talk
she doesn't like to get in. She's our producer.
We'll talk about her behind her back.
That's fine. We'll talk about her behind her back because she's not here. But she was saying that it seems like a lot of influx of family this year. And in the past years, it's been kind of like one of the parents has to stay home with the kids. Or if the family comes here, the kids don't really come to the convention. They stay in the hotel room or go to Dutch Wonderland or whatever the hell else you do in Amish country. I don't know, milk cows, churn butter.
Smell horseshit constantly.
shod horses, whatever it is you do for fun around here. And now that there's like a junior
show
section.
Show a little ankle.
Well, and that's the big thing that she was talking about. She says the junior section has been going on here. There's special rooms where they've got, quote, younger games, although... Her daughter goes and grabs a copy of Arkham Horror and brings it back to
her. I was going to say, I saw these teen-ish girls and dudes all running around. There's these, like, shaggy-haired boys playing guitars in the lobby and stuff.
There's a game of Battlestar Galactica going on where they must be 15.
Man.
Right, and one of the things she was saying
you gotta watch out.
This year we're starting to see those junior members coming up into this open gaming room.
Right.
These are kids, boys, girls, 15, 16, 17 years old, and they're not little childish kids.
I mean,
they're coming in here and they're holding their own.
And they're brought up with this playing games from a young age. So they get the fact that while you're sitting and playing a game, even my buddy Jeff's got, his son is six. And that kid, if you play
Hidden is he the one that took fourth place in Seven Wonders earlier today and pissed off a lot of adults who don't know how to have fun?
I don't think it was him.
I'm pretty sure it was. Jeff over there.
But someone gave his daughter crap.
No, his son. His little son took fourth place in Seven Wonders tournament. Yep, and pissed off a bunch of adults.
Fantastic.
And, yeah,
you know
fuck
what?
Them.
I played that game with his son, and I've seen that boy score 60 points. I haven't scored 60 points. The kid's like a shark. You play Hidden Roll games with you, and he'll destroy you. So he's six, and at the table, he handles himself perfectly well. You know, we could totally devolve from gaming here and getting to parenting, which could be a fantastic conversation.
Well, I think we know my opinion on parenting. Fuck kids, right?
Yes, right. That's what I was going to say. Loader's opinion on children is very simple.
No, well, I'm a teacher. I like kids a lot.
Wait a minute. You're a teacher?
Yeah.
Besides rock climbing, what do you teach?
Social studies.
For real? Somebody hired him. Seriously.
Do you really? Okay.
But he has to wear long sleeves.
For anyone that can't see Matt Loader, because this is a podcast.
Everyone should see me. They've seen me.
You do not look like a teacher. Matt.
That's because I'm the cool teacher.
And what do they think about the piercings that you can still see there?
Oh, they've been gone for forever. They don't seem to care. I don't know.
No? All right. Okay, so you're a teacher and you can't stand children.
No, I love children.
But?
I love kids.
But?
Extra
no,
crispy.
No, I get pissed off at the adults, the dads, mm-hmm. that like to say that my life is incomplete. I don't understand being a man, all this stuff, because I don't have kids.
Right.
Like, I get that kids are awesome. Like, that's great. You love your kids. Like,
but you don't think it validates your existence.
Yeah, I think kids are cool to hang out with. I may want kids later. It has nothing to do with whether or not I understand life or how to live or any of that stuff. So there are a lot of awesome dads. I hang out with my friends' kids. It's awesome and have a good time and, you know, put up with all their shit. And, you know, and it's fine. But I don't like being told that, you know, I don't get it.
That's you? Okay.
Are you one of those dads, Sag? Am I insulting
you?
So
is that like an elitist? Are you like dad at that point, if that's your opinion?
Well, that's the fucking problem. It's just being a dickhead.
You're like an elitist about having children.
This is the problem I have with people in general, right? If you're being a dickhead about your personal choices,
right?
Then fuck you.
Cheers. Cheers to that. I don't know. I tell you, though, like, the vibe here has been really great this year. And even some of the kids that I've seen playing here, there's kids, like, playing, like, they're going up there and they're picking up Dominion by themselves, coming back and sitting down playing it. And it's fantastic.
I agree.
It's the only way we're going to expand this hobby. A lot of people in some of the old, more old-school gamers, the war gamers and things like that, it seems like a lot of these guys are very protective of their little, we want people to play Here I Stand, but we're going to screw the tournament so we mismatch people that are really good with people that really suck or newbies so that these guys get like a free pass. And you wonder why your tournament attendance dwindles when you run things that way. You discourage people from doing it. Fostering these kids up into this gaming atmosphere is where you're going to create this new generation of gamers. These kids are going to grow up, be playing this stuff that in 10 years is going to be classics. And we're going to have this whole new generation of gamers, and this place is going to be huge in 10 years.
The other thing too, is you know what? Kids know how to have a fucking good time. Kids are playing games to have fun. They're not playing games to be like, well, my intellectual cock is bigger than yours.
Right.
Look at me. I'm the best at panning for gold in Klondike because I used my excellent mental technique. Like, fuck you.
I'm the prettiest princess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They just want to put on that jewelry and look fabulous.
That's the point, isn't it? And that's why having kids around here is cool, because they're having fun. They don't give a flying crap about maximizing their automobile production in Martin Wallace's newest Eurofest.
The only problem I'm having with the abundance of kids is that as a mildly conscientious adult...
Wait, who are we talking about?
Seriously.
Seriously. Yesterday, we sat down to play Game of Thrones. I looked right next to us at a table was like a dad and 2 6-year-olds, and I was like, "We need to fucking move tables.
Said that out loud.
Yeah, this is not gonna happen. And that was because that was like that's gonna get worse.
And that's why we should move tables.
Yeah, exactly. Is that I have to but it's good because I'm working these days, so I get to come in a little bit later. So when it's like midnight and I'm hammered and fucking reaching across the table trying to slap someone and cursing at them, there's no little guys around this morning.
It was great when I walked in the vendor room.
Yeah.
Steven had his booth all set up. Loader and Mike are right next to us. And these morons have cardboard boxes sitting there going like, we don't know what we're going to do.
No, we knew exactly. That's not what happened at all. No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit, right? I was still drunk. Mike was probably really hungover.
It's not his fault he was still drunk.
No. Listen. The hall opens at 10 o'clock. Everybody else that came in had their shit all beautified. Hall opens at 10 o'clock. 10:01, our shit was popping off.
Was.
We were making sales.
It it was.
Moving units like you can't believe.
I tell you what, I've never worked that side of the booth at this thing before. I've been in that line at 10 o'clock. Wow. Wow, did I talk for 3 hours. I talk a lot, in case you haven't noticed. I talked for 3 hours nonstop. I was incredible.
I'll tell you what's awesome, how many people come in. But you've actually played all the games that you were selling. Because you were working, so real quick, Steve was helping out Stronghold Games.
Right.
And they had three games and two expansions, right, for sale today.
Yep.
So Z-Man, who I was doing the booth for, has like, I don't know, fucking 400 games.
You guys probably had 25 titles for sale.
And way more than that.
Is that more?
And half of them are piece of shit Euros that I don't know the first fucking thing about other than that I wouldn't wipe my ass with them. So,
you don't want to play Yggdrasil? There's no ass wiping with Yggdrasil?
I'm going to play that. The Tree of Life, I've been informed. I've been informed, right?
Philosophia no longer wants any connection to Matt Loader.
No. I say it to Zev, too. I say it to Zev. Like, dude, you have some games that suck ass. But Zev puts out some of the best games in the business now, too. So, but what I'm saying is that you talk about shit you know about.
Yes.
People come in and ask me about their Spickerstock.
Spikerstadt.
And I'm like, well, you're moving some fucking boxes around. And then you get some fucking cubes, and the cubes turn into boxes, and then you get VP at the end. And it's very, very exciting. And dudes buy. So, listen, last year, right?
Is it cubes?
Yeah, it's not new this year.
No,
last year, swear to God, we were like, there's Spickerstadt. What the fuck is this?
I said the same thing last year.
And day one, first game we sold out of.
Really?
We sold through two cases of their Spickerstadt, sold like one.
It's a game about the shipping industry.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Yeah. So we sold like one copy of Roadkill Rally to two fucking cases of Der Spickerstadt.
I tell you what, say what you want about Der Spickerstadt, but that's one of my favorite games. I'm surprised you guys don't like it.
Wait, tell me what the fuck you doing. I haven't played it. Are you kidding me?
So each round you have cards out there, and you have three.
No, I'm fucking bored. Stop.
Oh, and you move some boxes and you get VPs. It's a great game. It's a great game. Holy crap. It's actually really good.
The ratings are going up.
Dead up, you know what, though? A lot of people are surprised to hear this. Agricola, one of my favorite games.
Is it really? Why?
Absolutely.
Why do you like Agricola?
I love that it is a non-static situation every time you play,
right,
with the combination of roles and professions and
even just the round cards in general.
And all that. Yeah, exactly. All the shit that you have there, I like that it is a non-static situation so that you can try different tactics, very different tactics, and really, you know, sort of work the system, try a lot of different things in the system, and it just, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. It's tough because I fucking hate like everything that is in the same genre.
Right. I'm assuming you probably hate something like Stone Age or something like that.
I won't even touch Stone Age. It's just, and that's
really the
thing, like fucking Pillars of the Earth. Like, you are the worst piece of shit ever.
Really?
Oh, my God.
But I
love Agricola.
So what makes, why do you play one game? Why do you like Agricola and then hate something like Stone Age?
It's tough. I mean, that's what I...
Because aren't you a purveyor of the thought that the fun of the game comes from how you play it and who you play it with?
Well, listen, like, I could have a good time. Listen, if we put down Stone Age right now, I would have fun,
yeah,
but I would have more fun playing a good game.
Me
you know
fun.
Who's fucking great? Habba. That's one of my favorite publishers. They make wooden children's game in German,
games.
And they're fucking awesome.
Plots where you have like the frogs
so
with
good.
The buoys. That's
all
a
their
great
shit
game.
Is great, like, because it's goofy, fun, like,
yeah,
whatever. It's because they're made for kids,
right.
So the only goal of the game is to have a good time,
yes,
if you're playing it,
yeah,
and that's what you do. And that's, you know, I don't care about elegant mechanics and this and that. You know, like, I mean, Twilight Imperium, one of my favorite, you know, probably
right,
my favorite game, isn't exactly, you know, the simplest.
No.
But
that's bold statements from Matt Loader.
But you can appreciate just, you know, Klondike is my favorite new game of this convention. You have a fucking pie tin, basically. You have these little wooden balls painted different colors. Some of them are gold. Some of them are like coal or whatever. You have to spin this fucking pan around and try to get the gold to stay in your pan and knock out the other balls.
Really?
It's fucking awesome.
That does sound like a good time.
Oh, it's so good.
That sounds like a great time.
So, Steve, I think we're going to have to cut it short.
That's
here.
Fine.
Because we probably talked to you longer than we're going to talk to, like, actually important people.
Yeah, and I'm completely useless. Completely useless.
No, you are a Stronghold Games representative.
Yeah, apparently so.
Steve Stormseeker
I can't even see it anymore, so I can't even mangle it properly.
Oxenic?
Yeah, that guy.
That too.
It's just Oxenic.
Yeah, Steve O's fine.
Oxenic.
You got like Andy in Kuwait, I'll be Steve in New Jersey.
Steve in New Jersey. Yeah. Now we're like a fucking WFAN. All right, Steve in New Jersey, how do you feel about the Mets?
Altoona, you're on the air. Thanks, man. It was a pleasure chatting
with you. No, it was great. I think we talked good stuff. So anybody
Thank
in
you,
New
Matt.
Jersey, go play good quality games with Steve.
Come play the speaker stuff with Steve.
I think Al went for a gin and tonic, so you guys got to keep talking.
Fuck, I don't even know how to stop this.
We have to keep talking because...
Shell, you know how to stop this?
How about I sing some Tom Jones? It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. Da-da-da-da-da. That's enough.
If I was wearing underwear, I'd throw them at you.
Here's Matt with Carter and Sophia. Carter and Sophia are ages 6 and 10.
Surprise, I can make it more than 5 minutes without cursing.
Yeah. They're ages 6 and 10, and they are both world-class Seven Wonders players. And they're probably the future face of Ameritrash Gaming. They'll figure it out eventually.
So we have with us two of the youngest competitors at the World Board Game Championship this year. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves for us?
Hi, I'm Carter.
I'm Sophia.
Sophia, could you come down a little closer to the mic, maybe? Is that going to work okay?
I'm
Sophia. Usually brothers and sisters push each other around, and you guys are being so polite.
Carter, stop.
All right, so... So why don't you, we have you guys here because you both did, you played in some tournaments, right, this week?
Yeah.
You both did really good in Seven Wonders. Is that your number one game, guys?
Yeah, pretty much.
Favorite guy. I saw you guys playing a lot of Small World, too. You like that better?
Yeah, pretty much. We just played a game of Survive.
Survive is awesome.
That was really fun. We, like, teamed up and we, like...
Did you kill, did Dad team. Play? Did you kill him a bunch?
No, we beat Olivia and her friend Ginger.
What's the best part of that game?
Like killing people with the monsters.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. So you guys... go ahead.
Go. The whale. Once we knocked him out of the boat, then we just sent the shark over. Yeah, like this.
So in the tournaments today, right, you guys beat a bunch of adults at Seven Wonders.
Yeah.
So, but some of the adults got kind of mad about that.
Yeah.
That's pretty lame, right?
Did they tease you?
No, not really. A lot of them that I played with were pretty good sports, but, like, some of them had, like, kind of, like, just mean faces on, like, oh, why didn't I win, stuff like that.
That's terrible, right? Because... Why do we play games?
To have fun, right?
Exactly, right? So we're here to have a good time. Who has more fun than kids, right? You guys are having, it's summer vacation, right? You guys are having awesome fun all the time.
Yeah.
What time is it? Do you guys know what time it is at night?
Past your bedtime.
It's probably past your bedtime, so you guys are, and you're still winning tournaments and doing awesome, right?
Yeah.
Sounds fun to me. So what's your favorite new game that you guys played?
Probably the Survive that came out.
Oh, yeah, Survive.
I think the best part is, like we played with some other kids that, like, always, like, team up on games, and I recommend, like, teaming up because I think it's a lot funner.
Awesome. Survive is probably one of my top 10 games of all time. I love that game. So you have awesome taste. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before you go to bed? You want to elongate this so you get to stay up later?
Yeah.
Yeah? So how's school?
It's good.
Yeah.
School's not as exciting though, right?
No.
So you guys didn't say how old you are. How old are you guys?
6, 10.
6 and 10. So, like, put together, you're half my age. So that's cool. And you're already doing a lot better. You guys are getting a better tournament score at WBC than I am. Is this your first year here?
Yeah.
You guys coming back next year?
Let's hope.
That was a very diplomatic answer. All right, well, thank you guys for stopping by and talking with us really quick. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Bye.
You've been listening to FatCast. You can find us on the web at fortressat.com.
No, because fuck starts with an F. So anyway,
or PH.
No, it's definitely F. I think, right?